Amen. Well, thank you all for sharing. And church, as you can see, these mission trips are, first of all, about being obedient to the Lord, right? We are saved by the grace of God, and we want to be obedient to Him. We want to be His hands and feet in this world, proclaiming the love of Christ to as many as we possibly can, and that is a practical example of what that looks like. So if you have never been on one of these mission trips, you've never had that opportunity, just know we will have a lot of opportunities coming up over the next 6-8 months. We'll be announcing a lot of those here in the next few weeks. So be aware of that. Be praying over those things and be praying about your personal involvement in it. If it's praying for those trips, then please be praying for those trips. If it's giving to those trips, then please give to those trips. If it's going on those trips, then please be ready to go on those trips. But be praying about how you can be personally involved in this type of ministry going forward as well. So with that, let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 16 this morning. For many years now, as I'm sure many of you have probably seen, if you haven't experienced it in person, you've probably seen clips of this sort of thing online. But for many years now, there has been a very large emphasis in evangelical circles on the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And some put so much emphasis on the Holy Spirit that in reality, they're not actually honoring the Holy Spirit. In fact, they are dishonoring the Holy Spirit. And the reason I say that is because they are attributing works to the Holy Spirit that are not truly works of the Holy Spirit. They are attributing claims and they're attributing all these things to the Holy Spirit that is not biblically the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when you attribute these things to the Holy Spirit, you're not honoring Him. You are, in fact, quenching Him and misrepresenting Him and dishonoring Him. And some of you, I'm sure you have seen those videos of people gathered up on stages and they're passing out and you got eyes rolling in the back of their heads and they're convulsing on the ground. And church, that is not a true representation of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I will say that unashamedly and I will say that dogmatically. That is not a true representation of the work of the Holy Spirit because it is not biblical. And we'll see why it's not biblical as we go through our text this morning. But then on the other side of that, you've got groups that are so against those types of antics that they kind of swing the pendulum all the way to the other side, to the point where they basically deny any sort of supernatural work of God in the first place. We don't want to be associated with this stuff over here, so we just don't talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is something that we do not talk about. We don't want to bring Him up, because if we bring up the Holy Spirit, then we don't want to be associated with the people who misrepresent the Holy Spirit. And neither is correct. Okay, I want to make that very clear. Neither is correct. Neither is okay. Because we want to be faithful to who God is. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, understand, that is what we're talking about. We are talking about God. We are not talking about just a piece of God. We're not talking about just a representation of God. We're talking about God. And we have to be accurate, and we have to be truthful, and we have to be clear about who God is and how God works. Because He is clear in His Word about who He is and how He works. So, that kind of leads us to the question that we want to address this morning. So, how does the Holy Spirit actually work? What is He really doing? How does He truly minister to the believer? What is His role? What is His function when it comes to ministry, when it comes to the work of God? Those are very important questions, and hopefully we'll be able to begin answering many of them this morning just from the passage that we'll be examining this morning. So turn with me to John 16 and start in verse 12. It says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there is actually a lot to unpack in these four verses, specifically as it pertains to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. So, how does the Holy Spirit work? What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? First thing we see, verses 12 into verse 13, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is instructive. But not just instructive, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is progressively instructive. We see that. Look at verse 12 and into 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So Jesus says that I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So that's actually very important. So the teachings of Christ to the disciples was not actually exhaustive. There were things that he could have told them. There was information he could have passed along. And he says, I'm not going to do it right now because you're not ready. You couldn't bear it right now. So I'm going to hold it back. Now, why specifically are they not ready? Well, I mean, remember, they still don't actually understand that Jesus is going to die and be resurrected. You say, well, how can they not know that, preacher? You've gone through it like several times through the text already. You're right, I have. They just weren't clear. They weren't thinking in that respect. Because remember, we've talked about this before. Their perspective, their assumption, their expectation was not the Messiah is going to come, and the Messiah is going to suffer, and the Messiah is going to go to a cross, and the Messiah is going to bear the weight and the guilt of our sin upon himself so that we can be redeemed by this great work. That was not their expectation for the Messiah. Their expectation for the Messiah was he's going to come and he is going to bring Israel back. He's going to make Israel exactly what it was always meant to be. He's going to throw the Romans out of Israel. He's going to set up our kingdom. He's going to set up his kingdom, and it's going to be heaven on earth. And that's what we're expecting. So when it came to Jesus saying, I'm going to die, I'm going to depart, they were not thinking you're going to be crucified and you will be resurrected. That never crossed their mind. And because they haven't grasped this most foundational, important part of the gospel, Jesus says, there are things that I could tell you, but you're not ready to bear them yet. Because you can't start with the advanced stuff. You have to start with the basics. And they hadn't grasped the basics yet. And so when he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So how will they get this information? He says, the Spirit of truth is going to come, and he will guide you into, what is that phrase? All the truth. The Spirit will come, and he will guide you into all of the truth. Now, I want to make sure that we're clear on what this phrase means. All the truth does not mean all the truth of science and math and world history. That's not what the phrase means. Okay? The phrase is talking specifically about all of the spiritual truth that the apostles and the church need for growth in godliness. That is what the phrase means. Now, I don't want to say that and you think, okay, well, that means that the Bible can't say anything about science or history or anything like that. That's not what that means at all. Understand, anything that is in Scripture is true, but Scripture is not exhaustive on every single subject. That is a very key distinction to make. Scripture is truthful and accurate regarding everything that it says. But its main purpose is not to give us an exhaustive knowledge concerning the construction of the world, the creation of the universe, the way that things are put together, all of the events that have occurred in world history. That's not the purpose of Scripture. It will speak to those things and speak accurately and truthfully to those things when it speaks. But all of the truth that we get from it has to do with growth in godliness. All of the spiritual truth that is necessary for growth in godliness. It comes from here. Now, it's important to kind of point out here, Jesus is talking specifically, directly to the apostles. He's saying the Spirit is going to come and the Spirit will guide you in all truth. We have the writings and we have the teachings of the apostles here in God's word, which is why we go back to God's word for what the Spirit has revealed in all of the truth. The Spirit has revealed all of that truth to the apostles. The apostles have recorded that truth here for us. And so we find all of that truth here in the word of God. This goes back to what we've already said before. The ministry of the Spirit in teaching, in leading, in guiding is found here. The ministry of the Spirit cannot be separated from the ministry of the word. They work together. They work perfectly together in constant harmony with one another. You cannot separate one from the other and think that that is good enough. In order to be taught by the Spirit, we must be taught the truth of the Spirit, which is revealed here in God's word. Right? You guys are sleepy or something. Not a single amen in any of that. Okay. All right. That's all right. That's all right. We're going to get there. We are. So, again, the point of what Jesus is actually saying here is that the Lord doesn't dump the whole thing on us all at once. He teaches us. And that's the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is one of instruction, is one of teaching. And so the Spirit teaches us progressively, gradually, bringing to us the information that we need in order for us to take that next step in growth, that next step in godliness. He doesn't give us everything at once and say, okay, sift through it and find what you like. No, he gives us a little bit at a time. Just like you're teaching a child, a father does not go to their five-year-old and say, okay, we're going to talk about nuclear physics today. I mean, who would do that? You don't go to a five-year-old and talk about that. You go to a five-year-old and say, okay, we're going to talk about letters, and we're going to talk about numbers. We're going to talk about words. How do letters form words? How do words sound from the letters? You start with the basics. And that is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit begins us on the milk of the word, which means what? Which means if you are a new believer, if you're an immature believer, there are certain things that you have to grasp. There are certain things that you have to understand before you can go deeper on the meat of who God is and what he says and declares and reveals in his word. So like we have to know, what does salvation mean? That's a basic fundamental truth that we have to grasp. We have to understand. That is the milk of the word. What is salvation? Who is God? How do we live by faith? How do we pray? How do we read and study the Bible? All of these things are foundational and important for us to begin with before we can progress into something more. And that is the Spirit, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This word, verse 13, says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all of the truth. He's going to guide you. That word guide, it suggests a process. It's a process, something that begins and continues on. And since what is being revealed and since what we're being guided through are the unfathomable riches of Christ, understand this is a guiding that never stops. This is a never-ending process. So as an example, many years ago, went on a tour of the Biltmore House and, you know, going through the tour, and the tour gives you, you know, pieces of information about the rooms, about the house, about the people that live there. And I love that sort of stuff. I eat that sort of stuff up because, you know, you guys know I'm a nerd. We all know this. And that's okay. I'm proud of it. Well, we go through the entire tour, and the tour lasts like, I don't know, give or take 2 hours or so. But I couldn't help but notice at the end of the tour, we didn't go everywhere. Like, this is a 250,000 square foot house. There's no way we walked through everything in 2 hours. There's no way. So I went to somebody and said, so I had noticed, like, the tour was great and everything, but, like, I didn't see everything. Like, I'd like to see everything. And they said, well, we don't open up everything all at the same time. We do exhibits and we do work on the different rooms. And so we open up sections at a time so that anybody that wants to come, you actually can do tours and you never have to repeat the same tour. I was like, oh, well, that's really cool. And understand, church, that's the way the Spirit ministers to our heart. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit here. Because when he guides us, he's giving us this divine guidance. And what he's doing, he's taking us from room to room in the scripture and showing us more truth about Christ here and more truth about him here. So when you're going through a book of the Bible for the 20th time, you're going to find, I've never seen this before. There's a truth here that I've never been able to connect from here back to this verse over here. The Spirit is constantly going to be revealing and showing and instructing as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. So, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is instructive. He's constantly progressing the instruction in the life of the believer. And he does that primarily through the Word of God. Second thing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is personal. His ministry is personal. So look again at verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So real quick, this combination here, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. This is a really weird construction in Greek, because spirit is what's called a neuter noun, meaning it does not have a gender assigned to it. It's just neuter. But the description, the personal pronoun that's given to him is he. So we have the Spirit with a masculine pronoun. It's a very weird construction in the Greek language. It's just very, very weird. It doesn't necessarily come across so much in English, because I don't even know if our words have that sort of distinction or not. But most languages around the world actually have distinctions when it comes to masculine and feminine nouns, pronouns, that sort of thing. And Greek is no exception to this. So it's a very strange conception to have a neuter noun with a masculine pronoun. But there's a reason for this. And Pastor Jonathan talked about this last week. It's because the Spirit is a person. Okay? The Spirit is a person, which is why we call him him. We refer to him as he. We don't refer to him as it, because God is not an it. God is personal. God is a person. God refers to himself in this way because he is not some mystical spiritual force that exists in the universe. No, he is the transcendent and immanent God of all creation. He is a personal being. And this is a very important thing to understand, because the Spirit being a person means he is not some mystical force. And that plays into all that we know from Scripture about how we're supposed to interact with him, how he interacts with us. For example, Paul talks about you should not grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit by falling into sin, by rebelling against him, by going against his leadership, his guidance, his direction in our life. We grieve the Holy Spirit in this way. Do you understand? You can't grieve some mystical force. You can only grieve a person who loves and cares for you. That's the only way to grieve someone. Peter, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira, they sell some land, they give money to the church, and they lie. And they say, we gave all of the money to the church. And Peter accuses them and confronts them with this lie and says, you have not lied to me, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. He says, you have lied to God. And they were struck dead because they lied to God. You can't lie to a mystical force. You can only lie to a person. All of this is important. But the comforting truth in all of this, church, is that as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit tailors his ministry to you personally. Meaning, he knows what you are facing. He knows what you are feeling. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what is best for you to have. And so he works personally in your life. There is no, God just works generally this way with all people at all times. That's not true. We don't see that in Scripture. We see God, the personal, loving Father, working specifically with each of his children. And that is the ministry of the Spirit. He works personally in your heart. He instructs you when you need instruction. He corrects you when you need correction. He encourages you when you need encouragement. He takes you through the Word, and he gives you these things. He might do it through the life of other believers around you. He might do it through the circumstances in which you find yourself. But the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in your life. If you are here this morning and you are a believer in Christ, that means you are indwelt by the Spirit of God at this very moment. And the Spirit never sleeps. He is constantly at work in the life of the believer, which means that he is at work in your heart, in your mind, in your life as we speak. Because he is personally at work with each of us. Third thing, the ministry of the Spirit is truth-centered, okay? Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. So, this designation, he is the Spirit of truth, implies that there is actual, objective, moral truth to be known in the universe. We've talked about this before. And the fact that the Spirit communicates this truth by speaking, it says, he speaks, not with his own authority, but he speaks whatever he hears from the Son. From the Father. So if he speaks these things, then that means that truth is expressed by words and by sentences that can be understood. Now, hopefully I'm saying this, and most of you are sitting there going, yeah. Very good, preacher. You figured out how talking works. Yes, but you see, the reason I bring this up is because postmodernism has kind of infiltrated into the church to the point that, believe it or not, the most recent statistics have only approximately a third of believers, a third of people who profess and proclaim themselves to be born-again believers in Jesus Christ, only about a third of those people believe in objective moral truth. Because postmodernism has pervaded in our culture. Which essentially says that there is no such thing as truth. There is only what is good for you and what is good for me. You cannot say that there is such a thing as objective moral truth. You cannot say that there is such a thing as objective evil or objective good. Those types of things do not exist. There is only what the individual believes to be true for themselves. That's postmodernism. And it's garbage because it flies in the face of what Scripture has to say. And what's kind of taking this a step further, if you say that there is no objective truth, then you take that a step further, and now you say that there is no such thing as true doctrine. And we see this in, quote-unquote, the church as well, where we say, you know what, we're not going to talk about doctrine. We're not going to talk about doctrine because we don't want people to know who we are based on doctrine. We want people to know who we are based on our love. We love one another. We love the world. We love people. And so that's what we want people to know us by is our love. We don't want people to know us by our doctrine. Hmm. I got to be careful because I'll get up on a soapbox on this. Do not think that it is acceptable to say that doctrine does not matter. Do not ever think that it is acceptable to say that the teachings of Christ, the teachings of the Word of God, are immaterial, and that the only thing that matters is that we love one another. That, gotta be careful, because there's words I want to say, and I can't say them because I'm in the pulpit right now. That is not... Oh, I'm counting to 20. Oh, no. Here's the thing. There have been those who have been very, very obstinate in saying that they are correct in every single minutia of doctrine, and if you don't agree with them on every single minute piece of doctrine, then you're a heretic and you're an unbeliever and you're going to go to hell. That's wrong. Okay, I will say that is wrong. But we're talking about the foundational doctrines of Scripture. That salvation is by the justification of Jesus Christ. That we are imputed with the very righteousness of Christ. And he imputes himself with the sinful nature of our hearts. And he takes the wicked wrath of God upon himself so that we do not have to bear the wrath and the judgment of God. That is not arbitrary doctrine. That is gospel truth. Amen. You cannot run away from that. You cannot hide that behind a shadow that says it's just about love. No. It is about sin. It is about righteousness. It is about judgment. It is about the glory of God. That is what it's about. Do not think otherwise, church. And that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is truth-centered. He will proclaim the truth. And his truth will always be in accordance with the Word of God. As I just said a moment ago, the ministry of the Spirit is inseparable from the ministry of the Word. If the Spirit is telling you something, check it to the Word. Because the Spirit will not tell you anything that is contrary to what you find here. I've had people come up to me before and say, you know what, it's okay. God told me that I can marry that unbeliever. No, he didn't. I promise you the Spirit did not tell you that because God's word says otherwise. So I promise you that was not the Holy Spirit that said that to you. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is leading you, if you believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding you in some way, that's great. That's good. That's truthful. The Spirit does lead, guide, and direct his people. But you always compare it to what is revealed in the Word of God because what the Spirit leads, guides, or directs you to do will be in keeping with what is revealed here. And that is how you know that it is truly him who guides you. Okay. All right, everybody okay? Everybody good? All right. Last thing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is Christ-centered and Christ-glorifying. Look at verses 14 and 15 again. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Do you know how I know that those shows of people convulsing on the ground as they are quote-unquote healed from demons and from ailments and maladies and all that. You know how I know that's garbage? Because the people that are doing it are saying, the Spirit's at work, the Spirit's doing it, the Spirit, look at what the Spirit's doing. And you know what Christ says about the work of the Spirit? Christ says that the work of the Spirit glorifies him and not himself. You ever want to know, is it truly of the Spirit or not? The Spirit will not put himself in the forefront. The Spirit will put the Son in the forefront. The Spirit will glorify the Son. The Spirit will never glorify himself. He will always glorify the Son. So if it is truly a work of the Spirit, it will point to Jesus. And it will point nowhere else. Because the Spirit will never point anywhere other than the Son. The Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Christ. He doesn't call attention to himself. He calls attention to Christ. He does not lead us to focus on our experiences. He leads us to focus on Christ. He doesn't, when people continually emphasize the Holy Spirit and their supposed experiences in the Spirit, you can mark it down. They're not really filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit will point to Jesus and nowhere else. When Jesus says, all things that the Father has are mine, understand, this is again, I've said this many times as we've gone through the Gospel of John. Again, we have here, this time kind of implicitly stated, a statement of divinity for Christ. Christ is again saying, I'm God. Because look at it closely. He will glorify me, for he will not take what is mine, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Who in their right mind thinks that they can say that anything that God has is theirs? No one. No one can make that statement. That's a ridiculous claim to make. But Jesus can make that statement. Jesus can boldly declare, unashamedly, that all that the Father has is mine, because it is his. All that the Father has is indeed the Son's, because the Father has given it to the Son. And we see in this passage, we could spend so much time on this passage, but you can clearly see, you can plumb the depths of this passage for a true understanding of the work and the existence of the Trinity. God is one. He is one God existing in three persons. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Each of them equally, completely, and totally God. Do not think that they make up the one God. That's a heresy known as partialism. We don't like that. It's bad. They are each completely and totally God. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. They are all powerful. They have all knowledge. They have all wisdom. They are all good. That is true of each of them. But God works and he exists and he functions in the persons of the Father, Son, and Spirit. He is still one. But he exists and he functions in the three persons of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That is the Trinity. Completely and totally united. The three are one, completely and totally in every way. They are one, but they are also distinct. Meaning we can't say that the Son is the Father or that the Spirit is the Son. They are distinct to themselves. And their work is distinct to them. But it is all the one work of God. So as we begin to wrap this up here this morning, church, I think that what we see here is a very simple way of applying what the Lord is revealing of himself, what he's revealing of the Spirit, what he's revealing of the work and the ministry of the Spirit. And it is this. Ask yourself these questions. Is the Holy Spirit progressively guiding you? Is the Holy Spirit instructing you as you study his word? Do you see his personal ministry in your life? Do you feel the leadership of the Spirit? Do you feel the conviction of the Spirit? Do you feel the encouragement of the Spirit? Do you know those things? Because the ministry of the Spirit is personal to God's people. Are you growing to understand more deeply the great truths of Scripture? And is your life increasingly Christ-centered, Christ-glorifying? As you think about answering these questions, if you cannot answer confidently yes to these questions, there could be one of two reasons for such an answer. The first might be that you're not actually walking in the Spirit. You're not filled with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that everything that you do in life, you do it completely in the dependence upon the power of God in your life. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to actually have that empowerment to live in obedience to what God calls us to in His Word. And maybe you're not doing those things. And so when it comes to growing in your knowledge of the truth of Scripture, when it comes to glorifying Christ with your life, you don't know that you could answer the question, yes, I'm doing those things, because you're not actually living and walking in the power of the Spirit. But there's also the possibility that you just don't have the Spirit. You see, it's only going to be one of the two. Maybe you have the Spirit and you've quenched the Spirit. And you quench the Spirit by grieving Him, by living in sin, by not repenting of your rebellion. But then there's also the possibility that you just don't have the Spirit. But you see, the good news of the gospel, the good news of the grace of God, is that you can have the Spirit. Because the Spirit is not a trophy that is bestowed only on those who are most deserving. The Spirit is given to all who come to faith in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is the seal upon the believer, marking us as we are the property of the Father. We are His, bought and paid for. No one else can have us. For all of eternity, we belong to Him. That is the seal and the marking of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you don't have that, you can. Just respond. Respond to the work of the Spirit. If you're feeling that conviction, you're feeling that prodding, you're feeling that leading, you're feeling that guiding, you need to repent. You need to repent of your sin. You need to come to faith in Jesus. Then do it. Respond in faith to the work of God and receive His salvation. Receive the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have that opportunity this morning. So however the Lord is moving, however He is working, I would encourage each and every one of you this morning to please respond to the Lord this morning. However He's speaking, whatever He is leading you to do, however He's convicting you, respond to the work of the Spirit of God in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this morning, and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Word that is truth. Thank You for Your Spirit who guides us and instructs us in that truth. And Father, I pray that anyone who is here this morning who has not put faith and trust in Jesus, I pray that today would be that day. I pray that You would draw them to Yourself, that You would redeem them from their sins this morning. And for anyone here who maybe is living in having quenched the Spirit in their life, Father, I pray that You would open their eyes, that You would lead them to repentance, that You would lead them to confession, that they would walk by the ministry, by the guidance, by the leadership of the Spirit once again. Father, do Your work in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Conform us to the image of Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.